the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Hello, listener. We're glad to be back again to bring the word of the Lord to you. We've been teaching from Hebrews chapter 6, the first oracles or the principles of the word of God, foundational teachings. There are seven of them, and we have been dealing with them. I'll read the scripture, and then we'll go over the seven, and then we'll continue from where we are to move on from today. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. We thank God because God has been giving us the grace to bring the word to you. And we thank those of you who have been listening. We bless the Lord for you and for the responses we are getting from you. Those of you who have been writing or calling or sending mails, we thank God that the word of God is reaching you and blessing you, and you are desiring more. We trust that we will continue under His grace and mercy to bring the word to you. Like you said, we've been dealing with these seven principles. I would like to go over them again. Like I said, the first one is the doctrine of Christ, which is who is Christ, the God that we serve. The revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is important. The revelation of the Godhead, that's the doctrine of Christ. Because these are seven. Six is not God's number, so there must be seven. Seven is the number of perfection. So the first thing a child of God must know is to know whom he serves. Like Jesus said in John chapter 4, that those who worship and they do not know whom they worship, we should not be people who worship and we do not know whom we worship. So we need to have a revelation of who Christ is, his ministry, his calling, his purpose in our lives. We need to know. And then followed by that is the next one, which is repentance from dead works. We also mentioned that repentance from dead works is not repentance from sin. It's that when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be delivered from doing dead works. Works that are not led by the Spirit of God. They are dead works. It doesn't matter. They may look good. They may sound good. They may be very religious. But they are dead works as far as they are not led or we are not prompted by the Holy Ghost to do to them. The scripture says the Spirit that gives life, the flesh profited nothing. And it is written by somebody that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. And so good things that are not of God, they are dead works. So that's why believers should not ask, is it a good thing, but is it God? It's not the doing, but who is doing the doing? And then next to that is the faith toward God. Every child of God should know that you are called to a life of faith, to believe God, to walk in faith, to hear Him. We've mentioned this, that there are many levels of faith. There's a faith we develop as we walk with God. There's the gift of faith and so on. And so we need to have faith because we can't see Him with our physical eyes. We can't hear Him with our physical ears. We need to have faith to follow Him. And God is God of faith. And we are required to follow Him. So a child of God must be established in his faith in God, in God's word, in God's faithfulness, in God's ability to see result. God is moved by faith. God is not moved by emotions. God is not moved by our human mind. God is not moved by our knowledge. God is moved by faith. God is God of faith. There are many scriptures for this. And then also to the next one, which is the doctrine of baptisms, which we have been dealing with. We've mentioned various aspect of this teaching. We've talked about baptism by water, baptism by the Holy Spirit, baptism of fire, and then we have also taught you being baptized into the body of Christ. These are the things we've dealt with, and now we want to move on to the next one, which is the laying on of hands. And then after that, you will see the resurrection of the dead and of an eternal judgment. These are the seven first oracles or first principles of the oracles of God that we must know. And the whole essence of knowing this is this. I like to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "But strong men belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So the whole essence is that we may be strong, become mature in the things of God, and then we can come to a full age, full grown. Because if we don't know these things, we cannot become mature, we cannot be strong, and then we cannot be people who exercise their spiritual senses. The word senses here is not referring to our natural senses, but it's referring to our spiritual senses to discern both good and evil. This means to have spiritual understanding, to have a spiritual knowledge, to have a spiritual understanding of all issues. The scripture says, "He who is spiritual discerns all things." And that is in 1 Corinthians. I like to read it. I'm emphasizing this before we go on today, that the whole essence of coming is that we may be what God wants us to be, for to be strong, again to be full grown, to mature, and then to come to a place where we can exercise our spiritual senses and come to perfection. In chapter 6, you will be emphasizing the word perfection, to come into perfection in Christ. It is a possibility. If it's not possible, the scripture will not demand it from us. Perfection in Christ is possible. Perfection in Christ, to have spiritual understanding and work according to the spiritual understanding that God has given to us, it is possible. So this is important. We are going over this for those of you who may also be joining us, so that you can be part of what we will continue to share on this program. I ask that the Lord will bless you. I ask that as we bring the word of the Lord to you, you will be blessed. I'm just reading again from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth." The word judgeth there means to discern. It's to discern all things. "Yet he himself is judge of no man." So it's important, as we become spiritual, we are able to discern and to judge, not some things, but to judge all things. To have spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge, to be able to perceive, to be able to see things from spiritual perspective, is our goal, is what we must do. Before I go on, I also want to read a scripture in Isaiah chapter 28, emphasizing this, the essence of coming to you and bringing the word of the Lord to you. This is the goal, those of you who are listening, to come to a place of spiritual understanding. Isaiah 28 verse 9, it says, "Whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? But them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." If we remain babes in Christ, if we do not leave the milk of the word, it is good to desire the milk of the word when we are young. He said, "As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word of God." So when you are newly born into the family of God as a Christian, yes, you must desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow by this. That's what it says, book of 1 Peter. But he's saying that we must not continue with that forever. We must come to a place where we are weaned, where we are no longer on breast milk. We must come to a place where the Lord can teach us strong things of his word, where we can be taught deep things of the Spirit of God. And all we've been sharing with you from this passage has been just the milk, elementary principles of the oracles of God, the things that we must know that are foundational so that we can move on to perfection. This is the reason why we are bringing the word of the Lord to you. We know this is a great desire in the heart of God, not that we just get born again and we are forever just marking time and we are not moving on and we are not growing and we are not maturing and we are not coming to this place of spiritual understanding. That's not the reason why God sent his son to die for us on the cross. Great that we are born again, but we must move on to become mature. We must move on to be able to take strong things of the Lord. We must move on to a place where we begin to have spiritual understanding. It is important where our spiritual senses are opened so that we can discern things with our spiritual senses, perceive things, judge things, touch things by our spirit, not by our soulish and carnal natures. This is the desire of God for every one of us. Today, we move on to the next issue, which is the laying on of hands. And I want to explain this, I want to define this for us. I lean on of hands, an act in which one person places his hand upon the body of another person with some definite spiritual purpose. And this act is normally accompanied either with a prayer or tick utterance. And on this, I just want to read 1 Timothy for us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. That's the elders. Meditate on these things. Give thyself fully to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. We see here that Paul was telling Timothy to do something. A prophecy had gone ahead over him, a prophecy spoken possibly by some elders. With this prophetic utterance upon Timothy, there was also the laying on of hands. And Timothy was being advised not to neglect the gift. It means that out of these two things, the laying on of hands and prophecy, a gift has been imparted to him. So we see three things. By the laying on of hands, here a gift was imparted, and then there was a prophecy spoken to him. That's why we say laying on of hands is accompanied either with a prophetic utterance or with impartation, a gift. This is the explanation from this passage. Now, I want to go on and say this. It is therefore, it's meant to transmit spiritual blessings to the one that hand is laid upon him. Such blessing could be healing, deliverance, baptism of Holy Spirit. We are going to go into details about this, but we're just saying the laying on of hands has to do with transmitting something, imparting spiritual blessings. And such spiritual blessings could be healing, deliverance, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. Also, next, laying on of hands, we can see from that scripture we have read, is also to impart a gift. Now, I want to read some other scriptures. Genesis 48. Actually, this is the first mentioning of this in the entire scriptures. And that's, we'll see this in Genesis 48. Shall we turn to it? Genesis 48 from verse 14. Genesis 48, 14. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham, Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So this shows us the practice from the Old Testament. So we can say that the doctrine of laying on of hand is not just a New Testament thing. We can see from the book of Genesis. Here we see the example, Jacob at this time, an old man, and it was the time for him to depart and to go. And he wanted to leave a blessing for a generation. So Joseph brought his two sons to him. And we see here from the passage we have read that Israel stretched out his hand and laid his hands upon Ephraim's head, and then laid his hand upon Manasseh. Here we see that, well, in this situation, Ephraim was the younger, and Jacob, in this instance, Israel, put his right hand on Ephraim, and then put his left hand on Manasseh. Of course, Joseph protested this. I'm explaining this because we can see something here. By placing his right hand on the younger, he was given a greater blessing to Ephraim, and he was given a lesser blessing to Manasseh. This is also very, very important here. That the right hand is suggesting something more important than the left hand. So, laying hand, this is important. That's just the point I want to make here. One thing we can learn, that Israel, meaning Jacob, was imparting a generational blessing, speaking prophetically over these two lads, speaking about what will happen to them, prophecy over them, laying hands upon them, imparting inheritance to them, the blessing that he, Jacob, had carried, the blessing that Abraham had carried, the blessing that Isaac had carried. Here we see Jacob giving it to these two children of Joseph. So we see here the doctrine of laying on of hands, like we said earlier, it is done for a definite purpose. It is done with prophecy. It is done to impart blessing, generational blessing, to pass on inheritance. This is what we see Jacob doing here for the two sons of Joseph. Now let's go to Numbers 27. And then we'll see another example here of this. Numbers 27, and we'll see another example of this teaching. Okay? And I want to read from verse 18 to 20. Numbers 27 from verse 18 to 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hands upon him. So we see here God giving instruction to Moses to lay his hand upon Joshua as a man who will take over from him. And then we know that Moses did this. And I want to read verse 19. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. Verse 20. And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So we see here Joshua was to take over from Moses, and God was preparing Joshua for this assignment, and Moses was given instruction to lay his hands upon Joshua and then before all the congregation. So this was not a secret thing, because this is being appointed or being raised or being elevated to come into an office, a public office, to be the leader of the whole nation. So it was done publicly before the congregation for them to see. And then you will see in verse 20, it says, and thou shalt put some of thy honor. We can say some of your anointing or your giftings. It's also here an impartation, that all the congregation of Israel may be obedient. In other words, when they see that part of your anointing, part of your grace, part of your endowment has been placed on Joshua, then they will be obedient to him. They will accept him as a new leader. So we see again the laying on of hands here is to raise Joshua to come to a public office, to come into a ministry, and then to put part of Moses' honor upon him. So we can say that laying on of hands can transmit honor or anointing or power to another person. So we see here again the reason for laying on of hands. It's interesting also to know here, it says, whom is the Spirit? The question should also arise in our heart. Who is qualified to lay hands on another person, and who is qualified to receive such a ministry? So the scripture is also there to show us how this should be done. So we see here this issue of laying on of hands for a specific purpose, to impart, to call into a public office, to release blessings, to be given a special task or for impartation. This is all about it. So this is one of God's way of blessing his people. It's one of God's way of raising people. It's one of God's way of imparting blessings, inheritances, and giftings to us. And that's why it's very, very important, as we have read to us in Hebrews, that is one of the fundamental issues when we come to know the Lord. And we need to be taught, we need to understand this particular teaching, so that to make ourselves available for it and to receive it properly and to know who should minister to us and from whom we should not receive such ministration. This is also very, very important. I also want to go on and I want to read a scripture from Mark chapter 16. Let's go on to that again. We are laying the foundation. We are doing the preambles today for this important teaching of the Word of God for us to see, so that we can all be helped. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we see again, laying of hands on those who are sick, that they may recover. So I like the word recover here, because laying on a hand on the sick, we are going to deal with that. Sometimes it's not instantaneous healing, it's a progressive healing. And that's why such a person who receives such a healing must be under the word of God, where he's taught to maintain the healing, that they may recover. Now you will notice here that this laying on of hands here, we must understand this context, because here it is to those we preach the gospel to, or those who are receiving the gospel, or those who are just coming to know the Lord, those who are just giving their lives to Christ and they are sick, they are to be prayed for. I'm saying this because we need to see another scripture that is important. That's James chapter 5 verse 14, and I want to read that for us. James 5 verse 14. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Okay, you will see the difference here. In Mark 16, we are just told to lay hands on the sick and pray for him, because that is within the context of preaching the gospel to unbelievers and to those who are just coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to a church setting, where it's a church, it's a meeting of the church, it's a different instruction. You see, is any sick among you as believers? Let him call for the elders of the church. He must be a Christian to be able to call for the elders of the church. He must know his elders. If he's in a local church and he has elders over him, who will come to him when he's sick to pray for him and to anoint him. But this instruction, I needed to make a point. I want to read something from 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22 for us. Shall we look at it? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Now, it's important that we link this scripture to what we have read from James chapter 5 verse 14. Why? Because here it says, when you pray for somebody who is sick, if he has sinned, his sin shall be forgiven him. So it means that in this situation of sickness, sin may have been involved. And then we have read in this scripture now, it says that, lay your hand suddenly on no man. Do not be partaker of any man's sin. Keep yourself what? Keep yourself pure. It then means to me, if you put the two scriptures together, that even within a church setting, if somebody is sick and needs to be prayed for, the elder has to find out what's the reason for this sickness. So that if he has sinned, he will confess his sin. But if he has not confessed his sin and the elders lay their hands upon him, they may be partakers in another man's sin. And keep yourself pure. When people don't confess their sin and renounce their sin, and we lay hands upon them, we partake of their sins. They can transmit that sin back to us. If we are not very strong, it can defile us. It can affect us. So that's why when Christians are sick and elders have to pray, they have to ask him, what is it? They need to find out. I'm not saying every sickness is as a result of sin, but it's important that the elders should find out to know for a fact if it's a sin, the root of the sickness. So listener, you can see what is presented to us in the scriptures. If we need to have the whole counsel of God, we need to see the total picture of God's provision for us. Laying on of hands is for our blessing, is to impart blessing to us, is to impart gifts, is to anoint us, is to bring us to an office if we are called to a special task. So much has been prepared for God to bless us with through the laying on of hands. But we must understand what the scripture teaches. We must know who should lay hands upon us. We must know whom we should lay hands upon, and in what context, in what situation. And that's why we're bringing this to you, comparing scriptures with scriptures. And I don't know if you are there and you are hearing us. I hope that the word come to you will be a light to you, will help you in your work with God. Like we said, the essence of bringing this word is not to condemn anyone, it's not to judge anyone, but to bring light to God's people. God's people may have spiritual discernment, God's people may be mature, God's people may be strong, God's people may walk in spiritual perfection that is offered to us in Christ. We trust that what we brought today has been a blessing to you. We'll continue by the grace of God next week. We ask the Lord to bless you. We ask for those of you who have submitted yourself for prayer in a wrong place, in a wrong manner, that the Lord will deliver you as you see the truth, as you repent. We also pray for those who have laid hands on people wrongly and they have been defiled and they are being affected because they do not observe the teachings of the Word of God. We ask that the Lord will bless you and deliver you and set you free for whatever bondage or defilement that you have brought upon yourself. We pray the Lord bless you and the grace of God be upon your life. Thank you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolish.